Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Was the Wi-Fi shaky?
Was it?
No, I'm sure it was fine your end. It was just, it went dee 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 doo.
Oh God, really? Oh,
what? But it might just be mine.
Yes, we're just basically we're running off. Cooper on a treadmill is keeping this whole show on the road today.
Because it's got windy in Wales.
It's got windy. The Wi-Fi.
And the post. Lucy described it as the Wi-Fi is delivered to her in a post box and a van.
It's a little metal box at the top of the hill, which is opposite a shop, which is the most popular shop in the village, and it's on a bend on a hill. So everybody stops at the bend on the hill and then clouts the box as they leave. And every time they clout the box, the Wi-Fi for the entire village goes out. So that's what's happened.
So even if you pay for the fastest broadband,
yes,
in
you're
Wales,
still relying. On a DPD driver in a hurry, so you know.
Brilliant. What could possibly go wrong? Yes. Welcome.
I think it's called levelling up, Harriet. That's what they described it as, levelling up.
Yes. They delivered your super fast fibre broadband.
Put it in a metal box.
In a tin box.
Opposite the village shop. Brilliant.
There's a little sparks come out of the box occasionally and it glows.
Oh, God. Yes, like the TARDIS.
Go and inspect it tomorrow. Put your hand in to see if it gets warm. Maybe don't. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman and Matt Rodriguez Payne. Before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week was brought to you by people being utterly committed to various bright ideas that they then jettisoned on Thursday. We began the week with the startling news that the last thing Brian needs is a leak. Well, that's prostates for you. Terrorhawk is not going awfully well by the sound of it. The main customers seem to be Tom, Natasha and Tony, only one of whom is paying for their food. Natasha was attempting to teach Emma how to upsell, which is exactly the sort of irritating thing Natasha would be expert at. I cannot bear it when people try to do that, even when I know they're being made to. And I not only refuse the thing, but also the refuse to buy the thing I originally went in there to buy. It's like in W.H. Smith at stations. Oh, I see you're buying a book of second-class stamps. Would you also like a bar of dairy milk the size of your own head for a pound? They have plumped for Gagriculture as the name of this toe-curling comedy event. Gag as in vomit, I presume. Linda is under the impression she is a farmer for plotical reasons and is justifying this by the fact that she keeps livestock, when in actual fact the criteria should be A, do you moan all the time? B, do your wellies leak? And C, do you have baling twine in the pocket of every coat you own? I bet Linda's wellies are aigle, which are worn by people in the Cotswolds who think they are Jeremy Clarkson. Peggy got the short straw in the great housing otch up and is having to move into the Laurels. Kate was devastated, not as she told Jacob because it meant Peggy was getting old, ect, but because she was jealous that Peggy would have her meals cooked for her, be generally pampered and looked after, whereas she, Kate, would be forced, unbelievably, to look after herself. Even though Kate herself is clearly someone who deserves special treatment, like a special big kick. Johnny is being forced to keep sailing around the world until the license fee goes up and we can afford to have him back. As he sits on the deck of his yacht in Brazil or wherever he is now, drinking ice cold beer in the heat as the sun glints on a glorious sea and women in bikinis admire his receding hairline, I bet he's thinking, goodness, what wouldn't I give to be back in the freezing packing room at Bridge Farm listening to Tony fart gently as he bends to pick up a fallen leek or shoveling Montbelliard shit while the smell of whatever simmering compost Pat is making for lunch drifts across the yard. Justin, you right?
Sorry, I've just had a delivery. Oh. So three people have delivered my final nibble. Sorry. Thanks, guys.
How many nibbles do you get? It takes three people and a forklift to deliver them. Flipping heck.
Sorry, Lucy. Do carry on.
Justin has completely put the kibosh on Lillian's international arena. He called Shula and pretended to be interested in her good works. "You'll have to unpack that for me a bit," said Justin, "because it sounds like it's about poor people and I'm not actually very interested in them." It was all a cunning plan, and Shula came coconutting all the way down from Sunderland to tell Lillian that she couldn't do that there here, so Lillian chucked him out, which was a brave move, bearing in mind it's not even her house. He moved straight into Brian's, where he drove him mad by using up all his bog roll and stinking out the bathroom with Eau Sauvage. Clary alternates meltdowns. They are annual meltdowns. One is defending her family against anyone that has accused them of being ungrateful, lazy, unreliable, dishonest, or similar. The other meltdown is when she accuses her own family of being ungrateful, lazy, unreliable, dishonest, or similar. This week's one was the latter, and as a result, she did at least get her dinner cooked for her, and they will all stop taking her for granted for the next week at least. Eddie tried to cheer her up by finding a load of old shite in the barn, which was tedious, but one element of which no doubt will turn out to be worth a fortune, and that will save them, so hurrah, hurrah. Although I kind of hope they do get an almshouse, as Clary sounded so wistful when she said it was modern and easy to keep clean. She's probably still blacking grates and using a mangle. After all the fannying about this ruddy parcel of land, plus having to listen to an auction in which we couldn't see Justin nodding to raise his bid, so he had to keep making strange noises, which was won by someone we couldn't hear and don't know, Tom and Natasha don't really now want to build their own house after all. They haven't got time, what with interfering with Fallon and dressing the twins up for petrochemical photo shoots. I hope to God Natasha doesn't say that to Emma. Can you imagine hearing that your boss, who you already can't stick, has changed her mind about buying a plot of land on which you are living in a caravan and designing her own home just because she's a bit tired? And talking of Emma, she delivered the most fantastic takedown of Kate, which was grossly unfair, as after all, Kate had offered her the wonderful chance to clean her lavatory seat. It was fantastic, and I applauded. God save Emma Grundy and all who sail in her. The end.
Oh, it's no surprise that was my highlight of the week.
Highlight, even though you like Kate.
I love Kate. Well, because I just...
love the character.
I love the character. And Kate played Kate so well. And she Emma did. Played Emma so well. And it was just beautiful to listen to, wasn't it?
And I loved Kate's version of what happened to...
when she said...
to Jacob.
When she said... Because I remember when also when Kate said to Emma, she went, "Because I'm sure you have such fond memories of cups of tea with Gran."
Yeah.
And you sort of think, because of course, Kate, in Kate's mind, Emma really enjoyed that cleaning job because she had lots of cups of tea and it was pretty, you know, blimming well paid for what she was doing.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah. I could listen to those two at each other for weeks. No, but also, because Kate...
Kate said, "She's just so rude." And I thought, she's not rude, Kate. She's just standing up for what's true. She's just telling the truth and how she feels.
But what is so great about Kate is that she'll never know. She'll never... She believes... Because she believes in her own goodness, you know, she's so committed to what a good person she is. She just cannot see that, you know, that... She can't see the other side, can she?
No.
I love that.
Not at all. And also what I find fascinating about her is that despite all the trappings of the hippiness and the various children all over the shop and the travelling and the green politics and the whatever, she is an absolute class-fueled snob.
Yes. Yes,
she's
exactly.
got Jennifer. She's got there's a streak of Jennifer a mile wide through her. She has got this sense of.
I think that might be true of quite a lot of environmentalists.
Well, have you seen? There's this new. This is. I think the Times probably invented yet another category of person. It's like the Sloan Ranger, but they're called like Eco Rangers or something.
Yes.
And probably. They are basically the sort of, you know, class obsessed Sloans, but they've now got this, they all keep chickens and, you know.
Well, I think as well, there's such, probably because there are so many people who are aware now, you know, now they've been made aware of their privilege, they need to sort of do something about it. which is, you know, the easiest thing to do is if you can afford it, be buy sustainably and shop local, etc.
And also rewild your estate, because why wouldn't you? You know.
Yes. Mm. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
But then it doesn't. You just don't have. You cannot see beyond your own goldfish bowl, can you? In that situation.
No. Exactly. All of the women that they featured in the article, all of them thought that could be Kate. That could be Kate. Also that, and also that, and that. You know, they were just so. They all had the. They're all wearing Converse with long flowy skirts and, you know.
But the thing is, you see, I think that's why they are slightly lovable as well, because Kate doesn't mean to hurt people, you know, like she's just so in her own, she lives so much in her own little bubble.
Yeah.
That, like, if she knew that, she felt that it was a huge injustice what Emma said to her. But I sort of feel like she's so lovable, as probably a lot of those, excellent, committed environmental people are, who just happen to be a bit posh, that, like, you've got to forgive them in a way, because they can't see, they genuinely have never seen outside of that world.
No.
And so... if they really truly feel like they're doing a good thing, then good for them. I suppose it's better than not doing it.
No, absolutely. It's better than not. But yeah.
But you know, Emma's so much more intelligent than Kate. That's what's funny. Like, you know, Kate obviously had an expensive education, but she doesn't really have a... Well, she must have.
No, she's thick as mince. Absolutely thick as mince.
Except that she's made her business work, but probably with a lot of help from her dad.
Exactly. It's like all those, you know, I'm a self-made man, you know, when I just started up with a 500 grand loan from my father, and you think, oh, okay, yeah.
And talking of 500 grand.
Yes.
I thought exactly what you thought, in that is the ultimate kick in the teeth for Emma, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
What should we do with 500 grand, Tom? Should we just buy some land and build a mansion?
I'm bored. Oh, what should we do?
Not even, clearly there was barely a discussion about where the money was going to come from as well.
Yeah.
And so...
Oh, do you know what? I'm too tired this week. Let's buy a half a million house next week.
It is insane, isn't it? Yeah. The way that and Tom is insufferable. Even his sort of attitude to his dad when Tony was trying to say, you know, you've got too much on your plate and take a break. And he's just such a martyr to his... own arrogance, isn't he, Tom? He's just
She set her heart on it. We're going to do it because she set her heart on it.
Mm. And, you know, I work so hard. Yeah. We both work so hard. And you just think, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's. I think it's very good value, this Tom and Natasha taking over the tea room, actually. Because it is Emma, just, you know, anyone who treats Emma like that is...
I love just one of the things I love about the way Emma talks is that when she's, you can see her just giving someone this dead-eyed look and just letting the resentment build and build and build and build. Just let them talk. And then she does this big intake of breath, and it's like she sighs as she's saying it. And it's this sort of kind of...
Right where the sun don't stick it. She just throws the arrows and they land, don't they?
Yeah. When she said, I'll tell you what I do remember.
I
remember you, and you looked at me like, and Kate's already in her head, Kate's going, no.
I don't remember that, Emma.
I'd have remembered it. It's just foolish. Yeah. Brilliant.
Oh, but it was just so funny. And also, I just loved it. Everything that Kate said was just so Kate as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I know just how we can help you. You can come and be Grant's cleaner again.
You can clean her poo.
Tiny, yes. And in this circumstance, we might pay you a tiny bit more money. Yeah. Oh, my God. I wish I'd been there in real life.
But poor Emma. She's just surrounded. Talk about always the bridesmaid and never the bride. She's just surrounded by people who she would do what they're doing so much better.
No, but it was good. I like the comeuppance that Tom and Natasha will have when they get handed their bill.
Yes.
That's very, very that's going to be brilliant.
Half a million quid.
Yeah, half a mil. It's going to be half a mil.
Somebody said on Twitter, oh, are Tom and Natasha just going to get bored of the tea room and hand it back to Fallon?
Yeah, but then we wouldn't have the funness of...
And anyway, Fallon would go get stuffed, I would
No,
imagine.
Because we've still got the charging station stuff all to come, haven't we?
So yes, yes, yes.
I reckon Fallon's going to dump them for that, and then they really are going to struggle to make it work, and they'll have to get behind that counter and realise how difficult it is and have the babies in high chairs while they're working. because I assume is where we're still heading.
Yes, inexorably. Who do we think bought the land?
Well, do you think... Well, we still don't know who the owner of Grey Gables is.
No.
So then I thought...
But it can't be the owner of Grey Gables because...
No.
Then they'd be spending money. It's their own money.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Because I thought maybe it's Ardell. And then I thought, no, because he just would have given that money to...
Yes, imagine it's another elaborate way of doing it. He could have just... Oliver going, Ardell, you idiot. What did you think
you
were doing?
But I wanted to surprise you again.
I liked it when everybody was happy. And now they're all sad again. I don't like it. It's not nice.
Do you think it's Miles?
Oh, God.
No, it's not going to be him. Who could it be apart from Peggy Woolley?
It was a
woman. No, not Peggy Woolley.
Hazel Woolley.
Hazel.
I always think everything is Hazel Woolley.
Did they say it was a woman?
Yeah.
Did they?
Oh, but no, they said their solicitor, but I think he said the buyer.
Do you think, well, I thought maybe it's Shula, but she's too busy in Scarborough, wherever she is.
It could be Azra building a house.
No, I thought maybe it's Lillian secretly. Do you think it's Lillian's last hurrah?
No.
Do you not?
No.
Okay. Oh, I was right though, wasn't I? She did leave him.
Yes. So somebody said on Twitter, Harriet, please stop reading ahead.
Oh, sorry.
They don't like it.
I could just put a warning in if I'm going to give my true to life predictions because it's already written down.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not really a prediction, is it? It's just you reading out.
To be fair, I'm quite pleased with myself because it didn't, you know what it's like.
Read between the lines,
which we can do within the episode anyway. I won't do it anymore. Sorry.
You know, Justin made such a palaver this evening about saying, just say sorry.
Yeah. And then, pathetic.
Do any grown-ups actually insist on the words, I am sorry?
When have you ever, me and Rufus, we have like massive rows all the time. But we never go, you say sorry. No, you say sorry. No, you just eventually go, all right.
Yeah. Oh, bored. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, I don't even care anymore. Yeah. Like, what was it?
You don't go, no, you say sorry. No, it's really annoying that they've always behaved like children, haven't they? So
it's just ridiculous.
And it's quite funny having Justin as Brian's housemate. I thought this week there were just so many nice little golden nuggets of fun.
Yes.
Like Justin moving with Brian and then Kate's staff and Kate and Jacob and...
Yeah.
And then I my heart broke for Clary.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really, because
when
Eddie
said I'm 73 or whatever it was, I thought, oh my God.
Yeah, Lucy. And you know, you hate it when they're two dimensional characters and you hate it when Eddie's just the sort of.
Yeah. One of the rude mechanicals.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. But this week they were.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a revelation, I thought, actually. Because I was the same. I thought, oh my God, you're so old and, well, no, sorry, not so old at all. Sorry, guys, sorry.
No, but it's old for digging up patios with a pickaxe,
which is hard work. Being out in the freezing cold and doing all that hard turkey grafting.
Yeah, and especially with absolutely no guarantee. Where you're going to be living in 5 years' time.
But also, I mean, no guarantee of making a massive amount of money, I assume, from the turkeys. I mean, do the turkeys sustain them all year? Well, they don't, do they?
No,
so,
no.
And then Clary is just like, I'm so tired.
Yeah. And when she said, I'm so cold, my hands are so cold.
Oh my God. I just couldn't bear it, Lucy.
Yeah. I know. I agree. And I thought that was really good that it wasn't all, like you said, it wasn't all, ha ha ha, the cunning Grundies. It was.
Exactly.
It was the real face of it, which is this is not fun. This is not funny. We're not hilarious characters. This hurts. And
it was lovely when the boys treated, you know, there was something quite heartwarming, wasn't there,
about yeah.
her being, and that happened to me this week. I had a right old meltdown with the kids because it's, you know, just these weeks up to Christmas are so busy, busy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I just needed to, I just didn't have time to do dinner or whatever. And I just sort of go, oh, just make yourself something. And then my eldest, she was so sweet. She put an apron on and she made a pasta bake and she got, you know, she got a recipe and she made a proper dinner for everyone. And I was so touched. And she was like, I'm sorry, you're so tired, mummy. And I felt really awful. No, but you know, it's just actually.
I'm sorry you're so grumpy and horrible, mummy.
I know, because every day, mummy. I'm sorry you hate us. I'm sorry this is your life. But there is something so touching about your kids noticing and doing something about it, because, you know, they love you and you love them. And sometimes it's just nice if someone else cooks the dinner.
Just someone else notices.
Someone else. Exactly. See, that's the thing. I don't care if they're not cooking it. Just notice that it is me.
Yeah.
Toujours.
Yeah.
Anyway, but no, I was very, very touched, and it was a coincidence that it happened in this Clary week. But God, I've got nothing to complain about compared to Clary. Oh my God, I wouldn't want to be in my 70s doing that.
Oh God, no. I think yes, and I think this time of year as well. Although it's, you know, when you've got little ones like you have, it's all lovely, lovely, and everything, but. My friend sent me pictures of her 6-year-old who is playing a sheep in the nativity this year, and he's got a big woolly headdress on, and the rest of him is dressed as a dinosaur for reasons best known to himself, which is because he likes dressing as a dinosaur. And she said he's a sheep, but a speaking sheep. So and I good. It's always
excellent.
Got to be a speaking sheep.
Always good to have at least a line. You don't want to be the.
I'm going to obviously coach
him. The mother of a kid that doesn't have any.
Yeah, I'm going to coach him in how to you know build up his part. You know.
Oh, I'm excited because
steel focus and all that. But
exactly.
But I think the emotional labour of Christmas is absolutely knackering, and
it is.
You know you
because
you just
also
think,
that yes because is, the thing is
anyone
you have,
see me doing all this. No,
but that,
right,
but I think that's the thing. It's the emotional roller coaster because I'm not busy, you know, grafting, you know, plucking turkeys all day every day. But you go from work to home to a lovely, you know, carol concert where you're watching your little one be a sheep and you're, you know, bawling. An awkward email that you've then got to, you know, it's sort of like it's just that funny old juggling thing, and most of it is lovely, but some just a tiny thing can set you off, and it's something like being freezing cold, and you're you know, Clary's probably got chilblain covered hands now, you know, she just couldn't take it anymore, could she? And then I was just so glad she was like, you don't, you know, like Oliver, if it wasn't for Oliver, that's the thing, isn't it? It's not like, she was sort of saying, it's not you, Eddie, that's, you know, no, the only person who's ever really looked out for us is Oliver.
Yeah.
And now we're treating him like this.
Yeah.
I thought Oliver was very forgiving as well.
Yes. And then Eddie said, I'll take you out for lunch. And then Oliver bought him a drink. So then Eddie said, no, but now you haven't. Know. Now it's gone wrong. Oh, now I've got to buy you one back again. And I don't know. I just thought it was nice. It was a Kerry Davis week this week. And I think it was nicely written.
I thought it was excellent. I thought there was some really funny bits.
And proper, he's, you know, he knows the characters.
I think he knows who not we personally, but... who most listeners love hearing as well.
Yes, yeah,
and yeah, he does. He knows the characters so well.
So
I guess
so
they
what,
all
what
do,
they but... how, what they say sounds like what they say. There's no there's no clangers.
But who do you think's bought the land? Do you think it is? I don't know. I think they haven't dropped Hazel into
no. We normally get a bit of a run up, don't we?
Oh, I know. It could be your best friend Harry Chilcott.
Well, what I did think,
oh yeah,
was that it was Debbie coming back from
no
thingy, building a buying a plot to buy build a house.
Have you been reading ahead?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that.
Wow, that would be awesome.
Because she's not spending her money on anything in Hungary, because I'm not sure there's all that much to buy. And she's been there for a fair few years, and she doesn't have children, and so she's got a bit of money.
Tams and Greg would be coming back.
Yeah.
But how can they afford her, Lucy?
I don't know.
But she loves the Archers, doesn't she?
Yeah.
That would be fun. That's an excellent guess. Peggy going to the Laurels is going to mean that the lodge is coming up for sale.
And Azra will go and live in the lodge.
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
Well, then in that case, Ardil might as well go in with her.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll live together then in the lodge.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe Emma could...
because she's got children, hasn't she?
Oh, yes, of course she has. Yeah.
Well, he could live as well with the children then.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
And what did you think about Shuna coming back? Ardil, as were the children. And here's a strange posh old man who now lives with us for reasons.
Justin saying, oh, you don't forget you need some more toilet roll in there. I just thought, if someone said that in my house, get out. Just get out. Use your hands like everyone else does when it's run out, okay? I've got enough to do. How can I expect you to put toilet roll on the shopping list? Sorry, what did you say?
Shula.
I was thinking about... Yes, I was delighted.
Yes.
Because I never wanted her to have left properly.
No.
And I think I'd always known she hadn't officially left. I think she's going to be probably a bit like Debbie and just pop up and down every backer. So often.
Yeah.
Pop a backer. She is so funny though, isn't she? You can just tell as well that she'll just have annoyed people.
Yeah.
She'll have annoyed Elizabeth.
Help them fill out forms as well and all that. And I was thinking, oh, I bet they hate you.
Because again, then another highlight was just Justin feigning interest.
Yeah. So what do you do then?
Really?
You these people that they don't have any money. They don't have any money. No, I've never come across that. You have to unpack that for me, Shula.
He couldn't have been less interested. It was so funny. And she was banging on.
Yeah. And he was like, anyway, shush now, because I need to drop Lillian in it from
You can imagine sort of Shula and Vince and Lizzie having dinner together and Elizabeth going, yeah. Oh, wow. So interesting. Anyway, and of course, the trouble is because I suppose when you come back home and you're having an adventure somewhere else, you're desperate to spill, aren't you? You want to like talk about your new life, but everyone else is just carrying on with their life anyway, so they're not that interested, are they?
It's sort of especially like... when it's about poor people, because the people that Shula knows in Ambridge. They're not that interested. They're just like,
Elizabeth has really? No interest.
No, yeah, exactly.
What is that again? Oh, no home. Wow. Yeah. I mean, Freddie has some experience with injecting things. Or maybe not. No. It's very... I liked her being back.
Yes.
Is the answer.
And I liked her being back and cross as well. Which is much nicer than her swanning around and Kenton calling her sis.
Do you remember when her and Neil had a thing?
Yeah.
That was probably about this time last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was... That was funny, wasn't it?
Yeah. I know. I was thinking, is anything going to ever happen about that? Or is that just another... Was that like one of those strange hallucinogenic episodes where you think, did that happen?
I quite like thinking about that because it was very... It was all very sweet, wasn't it, in the end? Because nothing happened... But they had feelings for each other and then they were sensible.
Yes.
You see,
and they thwarted didn't do and kissing. Kind of. Yes, they did not do kissing. They did all meaningful glances while Neil was wearing a pair of Harry Potter pajamas, which I think is slightly something unsettling about that.
I mean, yes. What's happened to Daniel? He's never going to be
he's never
spoken
back,
of again, is he?
Like Johnny.
Anyway.
Johnny's
back, Johnny.
But even Johnny. Tom said, I'm not sure he's ever coming back. And I went, yep, get used to that.
If the poor actor is listening.
Yeah.
Cheers then.
Oh.
Because of course he won't know, will he? I mean.
Where am I? Brazil?
He should do a little spin-off podcast.
Isn't Brazil brilliant?
Anyway, it'll be, or maybe Vince bought it. For an abattoir.
Ah. Yes, because he's been very quiet, hasn't he? Normally,
I'm just thinking of people who have a bit of money.
Yeah, because normally he... No, hang on, a woman. Elizabeth. Vince, yeah. I've bought you £500,000 worth of field.
Happy Christmas. It's for Freddie. He's going to live there. Or, yeah, maybe Rochelle's bought it.
Ah, talking of Rochelle, we've had an email from Kate Lloyd-Jones, who says, we were talking about the Joy Rochelle split and what may have caused it. And she said, when Joy arrived in Ambridge, she was fairly recently divorced. Given Rochelle is grown up and has two children, this is presumably a long marriage. We've been given the impression that Rochelle was the centre of all family attention. I think she may have been the apple of Daddy's eye. Whatever happened to split the marriage, I suspect Rochelle has piled all the blame on Joy for hurting Daddy and cut her off.
Oh, okay. It could be a bit of a Hazel Woolley situation.
Yes.
Yes.
Maybe.
That is very possible.
That is all. Yes, it is very possible. Now, do you remember last week I said that harassment reminded me of Chawton and the Wheelies?
Yes.
I'm in trouble with Trevor Hall, who says, Chawton was not a monster. How very dare you? Chawton was a happiness dragon.
Like the love monster.
Yes, though to be fair, he does sound like Harrison. Also, if you watch any episodes on YouTube, you will notice that Fenella the Kettle Witch also sounds like Natasha. Or am I just being mean? If you do decide to launch Chawton on the couch, however, I'll be the first to subscribe. Thank you, Trevor. I hadn't thought about looking up Chawton on the Wheelies.
But there is I'm just Google imaging it. But there seems to be like a sort of startled looking bear / rabbit and then a monster person in the background.
Yes, the monster is Chawton.
Oh, it is definitely a monster, isn't it? It's got a green face. It's a dragon?
Yes.
Doesn't look like it. It looks like a witch / a...
If it's if it's got a big hooky nose, yes, then it's Fenella the Witch. Fenella the Witch.
See. Okay, fine, fine.
And then there's a dragony thing and that's Chawton.
Okay. But the main character seems to... The main character is a dragon. It looks like a bear.
Yes, he does look like a
dragon
bear.
Dragon don't have button noses, Lucy.
No, but he's a happiness dragon, isn't he? You see?
Yeah, well, doesn't even look that old, Lucy.
Well, it is, I think.
1970. Oh, my God. That's actually when I was born, 1979. Oh, my God. Cut that bit out, Lucy. Cut that bit out.
Nope.
Cut that bit out. Cut that bit out.
No. Ray Beddo now.
Being age 3 to 29. Sugar. So annoying. Oh, God.
Ray Beddo has said, this is his plot prediction, Lee and Kirsty get together and throw Helen out so they can move in together. This is all based on my assumption that Kirsty still owns the house. I'm not sure anymore. Keep up the good work. Yeah. Ray, I'm not. I think she still does because they pay her rent, don't they?
But Philip owned the house. But then, and he's in prison.
She got it.
Did he give it to her then? Because they must have bought it jointly or...
Yes.
Well, any clarification would be very useful, thank you. But yeah, she gave it to Helen. Well, she said Helen could live in it, didn't she? But who... But maybe she owns it outright. Maybe.
This is from Auntie Jean, who has much to say on the subject of bloody Harry Chilcott, as she calls him. She also says she's moaning about Eddie, says treats Clary Love like dirt for years and doesn't expect any kickback. I'm very cross. Also, where exactly have Shula, blah, blah, blah. Oh, hang on. Da, 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 da. Right. She says, yes, sorry, I've caught myself up now. She says, where has Shula et al. Been teaching horse riding all these years if they haven't got an arena? You can't teach on grass in the winter. I think that, but they have got an arena, but they wanted a bigger, an international arena.
It's an internationale arena, does that mean you can basically have the Olympics there?
Olympics, but you could have proper events there.
So you could have loads of horses coming through the village in horse boxes,
and all the riders would need somewhere to stay and all that stuff. So
actually, quite fun.
Mm.
But I mean, more she fun says, than...
Bloody yeah, Harry Chilcott. Eventers do not give up because they've had replacement hips. I know someone who's had three and is still competing. One top rider got crushed by her horse, punctured lung, lost her spleen and an eye. 3 days in ICU, back on a horse in 2 weeks, and she won an Olympic gold medal. William Fox Pitt, the greatest eventer we probably ever produced, had a fall and a very serious brain injury and very nearly died. Took a year to recover. Back on a horse this year, was second at highest level competition, 5 stars, 1 level up from Olympics in the US, and 14th at badminton. They just don't give up. The Archers needs a proper agricultural editor and an equestrian editor pronto. I'll do it just because it's just annoying. Anyway, keep up the excellent work. Much love, Auntie Jean.
I think if I'd had a brain injury after falling off a horse, I'd give up.
I'd give up. I'd go, do you know what? Nobody, I'm not meant to do this. Horses don't like me, clearly. Maybe he had a brain injury and that's why he said, I can't. I want to keep competing.
It's very dangerous, horse riding. It's one of the most dangerous things you can do, isn't it?
Yes.
Once I got concussion, Lucy, from falling off a horse.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
And you still haven't recovered all those years later.
I know. That's why sometimes I don't remember words.
Ah.
It's nothing to do with being tired and drinking wine. It's entirely to do with falling off a horse when I was 12.
Right. I see.
Yep. We didn't hear Harry this week, did we?
No.
Oh, dear Hazza.
So we should count our blessings. Gertrude Rowan Jones said, "Oh, is a cast of thousands this week."
Yeah,
better
that's
still.
What I felt.
Long established characters and three older women, Clary Love Shula and Lillian, asserting themselves and putting their foot or feet down. Great contrast with Jacob imagining how Peggy might feel while Kate was, Kate. Even Eddie behaved well towards not the enemy Oliver and didn't tap him up for a grunge farm legacy as anticipated. Seriously hoping this marks a return to form and not a last hurrah. Yes, it was good and it was nice to see them all, you're right, Clary, Shula and Lillian, all going, that's enough. Stop taking the piss.
Yeah, I think there is something reassuring. When you hear... I think that's what I was saying last week. When you don't hear from the sort of the elders for a while, it's a bit discombobulating.
Yeah.
So then when you put a few in for the week, you know, especially Shula, who, you know, it's been a long time, then it's quite reassuring, isn't it?
Yes. Yes,
you know,
it is.
All is right
in
the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Patricia Johnson is time travelling. So she's going through old episodes. She's in 2018 at the moment. And she said that,
of the Archers.
Yeah.
Wow.
And she's contrasting storylines now with what happened from where she's listening.
Oh, that's
from,
really useful. So I mean.
And she said, at the moment, Pip developing feelings for Stella and trying to work it all out, like while living and working with her whole family on a farm in a small village. She said, David and Ruth were just the same back in early 2018 when Pip discovered her pregnancy. They were overbearing. They doubted Toby.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Instead of supporting him, they were devastated to find that Pip had confided in Elizabeth before them. They told Pip her plans were unworkable. Our children are completely separate human beings and deserve some privacy and room to make their own choices, especially when they become adults. But David and Ruth make it all so difficult. It shows that the editors and scriptwriters know the characters and stick with it.
Yeah, I just love making things difficult, Lucy, because otherwise life isn't stressful enough. And I thrive on effort. I think that's why.
She's right, though. I'd forgotten that, but I remember that's still my memory now.
Mm. What do you think of almshouses, Lizzie? Because sometimes you see stunning almshouses, don't you?
I don't think the Grundys care if they're stunning or not. They just want cheap and, you know.
But they're always charming looking.
Yeah. Well, it's because they were built a long time ago. We don't build modern day almshouses, do we? There were some in Walthamstow, I remember. They were very nice.
Yeah, there's some down by the river. And you think, wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And, but I assume they are for people who've worked hard and just need support, I guess.
Yeah. Yes.
But, and it's a charity rather than the council, isn't it?
It's run by trustees.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think it would be excellent for them. I think that idea of being that age and having no financial security
but exactly
at all.
That,
is
but
just
that's the
horrendous.
Worry, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I'm sure it's going to happen to more and more people as, you know, who's got a pension these days? But
now they're means testing, no one's going to have one, but anyway.
Well, exactly. And so, you know, get to. And also, I suppose, in a way, it's not surprising to hear people are working in their 70s because it actually doesn't feel like it's not an old age, is it?
But imagine getting I'm never going to stop working.
No,
go mad.
No, exactly. And we're always going to be doing the podcast, Lucy.
Yes, you cannot stop us.
so there. Yeah. You may stop listening, but we won't stop recording.
We'll still be broadcasting from our bunker long after the war's over.
We're not from our almshouse. Yes. Which we'll be sharing.
like Morecambe and Wise in the same bed, wearing matching pyjamas.
Exactly. But yeah, it must be frightening to worry about being homeless in your, you know, in your last decades.
Yes.
And what was the point? What was all the point of working all that time? For?
But that was the thing, wasn't it? The idea is that, you know, if this whole flipping, you know, ridiculous idea of society is supposed to work, you're supposed to work your ass off in order to then be able to retire. If you never are able to earn enough to save anything, you are just earning to pay the bill
to your rent
to keep you in the same place. That's it. Then you're not progressing, you're just literally surviving. And there's the vast majority of people are in that position.
Yeah, it's only going to get scarier. But on the brighter side of things, it's about bloody time they cleared out that barn. I mean, for the sake of their children, at least.
I know, yes.
God's sake. Imagine the crap that was in there.
Well, Basil Clement has views on this. He says, whilst sipping my anti-gentacular coffee this morning.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I suspect he's made it up, but I'm not sure. My mind strayed rather alarmingly to the barn at Grange Farm and all of those decades worth of detritus. Sorry, treasured family heirlooms. I'm afraid I find this whole tedious nonsense unbelievable. In 1999, Eddie was declared bankrupt. Almost everything they owned had to be sold to clear debts. David Archer even bought back a pickaxe he'd lent to Eddie a year or two before. They took very little with them when they moved to the infamous Meadow Rise.
Oh.
They then lost more of their possessions during the Great Ambridge Flood of 2015.
Oh, yeah.
Given the above, are we really supposed to accept that they still had William's pram, the greater part of a rocking horse, and numerous other pieces of junk? Which fool thought these fatuous scenes were a good idea? The whole thing quite ruined my breakfast, he says. But yes, I hadn't realised. I knew that he'd been made redundant, and I remember been declared bankrupt. And I obviously remember them going to Meadow Rise because that was awful.
Yeah, but where would they have stored all their stuff?
Well, I guess left it in that barn.
Yes, yeah, exactly. I think they probably did, didn't they?
So Oliver, who didn't even know them then, would just say, "Oh yeah, just leave your shitty
pram." Yeah.
Ah, anti-gentacular means before breakfast.
Wow. Mm. Anti-gentacular.
Yep.
G-E-N.
J-E-N.
J-E-N. I've never heard that word.
Gentacular. Formal, chiefly archaic, of or pertaining to breakfast. Specifically, taken early in the morning or immediately upon getting up.
Oh, God,
so I took a post-gentacular walk to settle my stomach.
Oh my God, Lucy, please can we always be gentacular together? It might be two gentacular gents.
We'll be jiving. Gentacular geriatrics.
Yeah. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you so much for that new word, which I'll be using tomorrow at about 8 a.m.
Come along, children. It's anti-gentacular. Get up. Where's that gone? Oh, now I've lost it. Bloody hell. Oh no, Helen. Yes, there we go. This is Kate Lloyd-Jones. Who we were talking about, Helen And we were saying that Helen needs to go and have therapy. And other listeners have said the same thing. And Kate said she has had therapy. She said when she was in the inpatient eating disorder clinic after Greg died, she was seeing a psychiatrist as a result of her pregnancy weight control issues when she stabbed Rob. It was one of the things Rob goaded her about. She's been referred to the eating disorder service after she saw Dr. Azra. She's had some contact. There was a throwaway comment a few weeks back about her having an appointment with a dietitian. Yeah. I wonder if she compartmentalizes everything she's gained from therapy to managing her relationship with food and doesn't apply it more widely. It has to be said, her unpleasant side has been around a lot longer than her relationship with Rob. There's a number of listeners who, like me, have been listening long enough to remember how awful she was to Haley after John died. I remember that. No. Haley, with Tom, was trying to keep John's pig business going and Helen basically ousted her because she wasn't family. Granted, she was young, but some listeners have never forgiven her.
Wow.
I remember that. She was awful because Haley was such a sweetheart and Helen was vile. And it was just, you're not family. You're not one of us. And she literally binned her.
What? Oh, my God.
But she said, there again, Helen's childhood can't have been fun. With Kate as an older cousin who would have taken on board Brian's disparagement of Tony and Pat's organic farming and lifestyle. There were stories about Helen at Pony Club with secondhand kit on Comet, her Fellwell-style pony. When Comet died, laminitis, too much good grass, she was then given a pity gift by the Aldridges, Kate's second spare pony. Yeah. Can imagine. That's the kind of thing you don't forget, isn't it?
Oh, this is brilliant history. I love hearing this. That's so interesting.
Would you like my spare pony?
Sorry, Lucy, I've just been one second.
I wanna keep the
code. Okay, fine. We'll talk about it later. Okay. Go. Sorry. She just came in and went, I wanna keep the coat.
Is it code? Has she joined the KGB? What's she talking about?
Yes, basically. It's a horrible big fat puffer thing from ASOS that she made me get. But it's so shapeless.
Right.
You know, like they are like all teenage girls basically have to wear black puffer coats now. That's like they have to.
They have to be shapeless as well.
Well, the less expensive ones are quite shapeless.
Okay.
And so it's just so horrible. But she wants to keep it. Okay, fine. It's just this big sort of like Michelin man thing.
I know, but they don't. They
don't care. They don't.
And it's not about how they look. It's about.
I know. You know. I know. But Lucy, you know, I'm just going. But surely it should just come in at the waist a little bit. Just not fitted. Darling.
Don't you put a belt on it? Put a belt. I've got one.
Put a belt on it. Should I make her go to school with a belt round it? But it's. Oh, horrible. It's fine. I just need to get over it.
You just, fine. Yeah, from now on, you can do it with the others, but from now on, with the big one, you just have to accept it's not about what you think anymore.
No, exactly. No. It's
very hard, but it isn't. And yes, you have to go. Yes. And but in fact, if you want to actively put her off it, say,
yes.
I love that coat.
Oh my God, it the really shape suits on you is fantastic.
Could I borrow it?
It's She'll have it.
It'll be on,
you.
On fire in the back garden in seconds if you do that.
Well, the trouble is, it's one of those awful cheap ones, so it probably will catch fire quite quickly. That's the danger. I wasn't very sustainable in my choice, Lucy.
Oh, Kate will give you advice on that.
I loved it when Kate went, why are you using polystyrene? Yeah. Do you have to use polystyrene? Why can't you use wool?
Because it's outside. Kate.
If it's okay for the sheet.
Yeah.
Oh, classic.
Right. Do you remember last... Oh, yeah. Read the competition.
Yeah.
It's open for another week because... Jeff has yet to practice with the meter thing because he's had a small disaster at home. He's fine, but he's had a disaster and he couldn't record this week. So he's got to record next week. And then he
did he have a disaster with the meter?
No. He had a domestic disaster.
But it didn't involve knives or thermometers?
No. And he wants to do a proper trial
of
it.
Oh, yes, he's going to do a little video.
A package,
of course. Yes. Oh, yes.
So you've got another week to enter.
What was the question again?
The question was, you're never going to remember it a week behind, no. But anyway, the question was, what did Harry Houdini What did he order from the Indian restaurant where he was with Alice?
Oh, yeah. I think I still remember, actually. Can I say?
See, that... No! See, oh. That you remember. Major plot things. That's what we can't remember, but anyway.
I know. Isn't it funny? The bits that stick in your mind.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gagriculture. It's a good name. It's a good name. I liked it.
Right. Now, do you remember last week's What the Hell is Happening Here?
Remind me.
It was them doing the lighting up of the green.
Yes,
and it went
right.
All the way around to Jim's house to Green Knackers, and then Green Knackers' lights didn't come on. Remember that?
And why was that?
Well, it was because nobody got this right. It was because Jim had been given the honour of leading the turning on of Ambridge's Christmas lights at the Bull.
Uh-huh.
Joe was supposed to turn the lights on at Green Knackers. Joe was very excited but got a bit sidetracked by some mince pies.
Oh.
Missed Green Knackers' cue in the turning on of the lights and missed them by miles and then dropped a mince pie on Jim's carpet. So, yes, that was thrills and spills in that episode. Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, we knew it was the turning on at least.
Yes. Anybody that remembers that needs their head testing, because why on earth would you remember that? Anyway, so this is this week's...
Yep.
What the hell is happening?
What the hell is happening here?
Ah, Elizabeth Archer.
Pargeter. Hello, Vicky.
Oh, I hope you don't mind us sneaking up to look at the toys.
Yeah, why would I?
Well, we haven't paid.
Oh.
Your Nigel said it was all right.
Did he?
Yeah.
We'll be a wonderful team in the Crook Barn, won't we, Joe?
As long as we're clear who the senior partner is.
No, hold on, the Crook Barn?
Nigel's just given us the job.
You too?
Yeah. Aren't we lucky?
Sorry. He may have been a bit ahead of himself. We haven't really asked around yet.
Oh, no. You're behind the times. He snapped our hands off.
The people he asked didn't want to do it, and no one else has volunteered.
Except us.
Mm-hmm. They need to look professional, our decorations. We've got Lower Loxie's reputation to consider.
Oh, we'll do our homework, I promise. Oh, I can't wait.
Here, this week we comes up with a prototype to show you. Eh?
Bingo, Joe! Like on Dragon's Den!
That's a brilliant clip.
So much, Alan.
Oh. What was it? Oh, that was the continuation.
Yes.
James, that was a brilliant... I loved hearing that.
Wasn't that a medieval one or something? They had to do a theme, didn't they?
I don't know. Lucy, I cannot... God, I just... My brain has no capacity for anything before... Probably before 2018, actually. I can't remember at all. I don't know what the Crook Barn is.
Crook Barn. A Crook Barn is the it's wooden inside. It's sort of support. It's a particular design of the way that the barn is structured. It's called the Crook Barn.
It also just reminded me that Joe used to call everyone by their first name and their surname.
Yes, it was great for new listeners because they'd always, hello, Elizabeth Archer. Everybody. Yes, it was very useful. James Everett also, what you know, Spotify does your year of listening.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, "You just found out." He says, "I'm in your top 0.1% of listeners on Spotify."
Wow! Oh, James,
thank you for all the episodes of your podcast. They are so great to listen to. So much, I've listened to 14,788 minutes. That's over 10 days. He says, do I have a problem?
Oh, my God.
But he says, can't wait for the many more episodes to come. James, you are a sucker for punishment, mate. But thank you very much. And also thank you for all your work.
Yes, thank you. I mean, we can't thank you enough, James.
No, we can't.
We can't. So I'm not even going to. Thank you. No, I don't know how to. Wow, I'm in disbelief.
14,000 minutes.
Ten days. Oh, my God. It's too much.
It is. There's people in hostage situations that are being better treated than that. But anyway, have I emailed you the picture of Hannah Oddie's baby?
Is that the Brooklyn baby,
Lucy? The Brooklyn baby.
In the bear suit. So, I mean, but luckily you emailed it to me before.
It's not a bear suit, it's a rabbit, you dear brain.
What? It's a bear.
No, it says, please find attached a photo of Mabel in her bunny suit.
Oh, hang on.
Look at the ears. That's not a bear's ears.
Oh, my God, it is a very cute picture.
It is, isn't it?
Oh, I didn't really notice that the ears are floppy.
Yes.
Not the baby's. She's wearing a...
The ears are floppy like a rabbit's, not a bear's.
Well, I'd say it looks like a teddy bear's outfit, but the ears... I mean, she could be anything from a little piglet to a... I wouldn't say it's a bunny.
It is a bunny.
No, Lucy, those aren't bunny ears.
Well,
they're
it's
not long
a
enough.
Bunny suit.
Well, is that has that been confirmed?
Yes, oh, yes. She emailed us.
Sorry. Okay. Well, whoever made that suit, it's beautifully made. Stunning. It's just for the listeners who can't see this photo. It's a beautiful baby in a brown knitted
suit.
But the ears are not quite long enough to be a bunny, I'd say.
Oh, God.
So,
who died and made you king of bunny suits?
She's very cute, though.
Isn't she? She's got a beautiful...
Darling face.
Little... Pink cheeks and
yes,
lovely
yes.
complexion.
She very much suits this teddy bear suit.
Which is a bunny suit. Anyway, Hannah says, I loved the scene with Clary early in the week. Finally, an acknowledgement of what her constant labour inside and outside the home costs her. I was excited about a possible storyline exploring old age and retirement for the poorer villages in contrast with Peggy's move to the Laurels. Ah, I never thought that. However, after a quick Google on Eddie's part and one night off from cooking tea, all Clary's worries seem to be gone. Surely almshouses aren't that readily available. At least we have the prospect of a single Lillian on the loose to keep us going.
Lillian on the loose, darling. Yes.
There aren't any men of Lillian's vintage.
Not really.
Are there?
Oliver. Well, Oliver. Yeah.
Wow.
Maybe they're going to make...
Lolliver! Is that going to be a thing?
I think they might... Yeah,
Lilliver.
Lilliver. Maybe they're going to make Justin jealous. When Justin is just not gesticulating, what do you do in the morning? Jeticling.
Gentacularizing.
When Justin is gentacularizing with his porridge...
Yeah.
He's going to receive a text that Lillian meant to send to Oliver.
Yes.
Yes. It's all going to go pear-shaped. but weirdly, this week I've been listening to, sounds of rebranded all those crimes, all the Miss Marples and stuff as whodunits.
Yes.
Yeah, but there's a Poirot this week. Which
I know.
Yes, and it's got Oliver in it.
Yes.
As the love interest.
Yes.
He's the main part,
yes.
And he is about to go out with a much younger
yes.
girl.
Yes, and he plays a big ham actor, doesn't he?
Yeah. Perfect, Boston. He's got such a... I love Oliver's voice, though.
Yes.
He's
no, he's
so
got...
upbeat.
He's in so many Radio 4 extra
yes,
things,
he
isn't
is.
He? It must
he
have
is.
Been the radio repertory company
yeah.
must have just been him, largely.
Yeah.
Him and Mary yeah. Wimbush, that was it. That was all they had.
And he's in everything. It's brilliant. I recommend that one, don't you? It's
yes,
good.
It is very good. Yes.
Three-act tragedy, that's
yes.
what it is.
Steve Parrott's messaged us, by the way, about the prizes and said, firstly, a prize for hair care. I am bald. Secondly, a prize for cooking meat. I am a vegetarian. Steve with the huff.
Oops.
Steve, it's coming up. We have a whiskey one.
And what about the honey? Come on,
yeah.
Steve. Oh,
yeah, honey.
Vegans can't have honey.
Yeah.
And there was like a bath thing, wasn't there?
Yes.
One time.
And tea.
Tea.
Yeah.
Come on.
Didn't that look lovely, her tea shelf? Rachel Kennedy, who won the tea, sent us a photo of her. She put on Instagram a photo of her prize with the Babington tea. And it just looks so beautiful. She's got a whole tea shelf.
Oh, I've just seen it, Lucy.
Yes.
Oh my God!
Doesn't it look pretty?
That looks so pretty. That looks like a professional shop.
I know. She does that a lot.
Wow! But actually, her shelves, are those her shelves?
Yes.
They are the perfect colour
yeah.
for the teas.
Yeah.
How lovely.
They look gorgeous.
Oh, thanks, Rachel. And thank you for hashtagging Ambridge on the Couch.
Yes.
I haven't been on Insta this week for
reasons.
For this, obviously. for just reasons of time. but now I will. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you so much.
Well,
but
anyway, Steve,
I'll
assuming
that.
you're not teetotal as well as vegetarian and bald, then there is whiskey coming up. in the new
year.
Oh,
Rachel so Kennedy's we can feed is lovely.
I know. I knew you'd like it.
Oh, I really like it. What's so annoying, as I was saying, I know I've bored you with this, but it is annoying. Insta doesn't give you the feeds you actually want to see.
Yeah.
It just gives you videos of very, very famous people who I'm not interested in.
No.
I want to see Rachel Kennedy's shelves.
Well, all I'm getting now is golden retrievers over and over again. I've got rid of the dieting ladies because I said, no, I don't like that. It said, would you like to see more of this? And I said, no, I do want to see none of it. Thank you. So they've stopped that. But now I've got golden retrievers endlessly, which I don't mind, really. It's fine.
So they just replaced it with more golden retrievers.
Right. Forget it. She doesn't like the skinny ladies. Right. Give a golden retriever. Try dogs. Put dogs on.
Only golden retrievers. Yeah, they could have tempted you with, a little chocolate lab or something, couldn't they?
They could.
But they didn't.
So we are now crossing over to, I know where we're going. We're going to the tea rooms to see how Emma is doing with their new Swedish vibe.
Radio Borsetshire.
Colin, I am ready. No, not for the show, for Christmas. I got the tree yesterday. The man said to me, are you going to put it up yourself? And I said, no, it is going in the hallway. Are you ready? No, not now, for Christmas. Oh, now. Oh, hello, this is me, Fabrice of Fairpresham, looking like I have just stepped out of the salon, because I have. This week, I had invitation from Tom Archer. At least, I think it was an invitation. I couldn't really understand it. It say, hi there, Febreze, just blue skying, if you could grab an hour to visit the tea rooms post-rebrand. Great to have your input once you've had eyes on. We have great plans going forward. He speak worse English than me. Anyway, I have been very brave in the snowing and icing, and I've done a broadcasting outside from the tea rooms, which are now called Terrible, which is Swedish for pretentious.
Hi!
Woo! You startle me.
Yeah, it's all right. Tom says we have to greet everyone in Swedish. I keep making people jump and drop things.
Well, I think there is nothing wrong with something a bit more gentle. I like your Scandi jumper very much, though.
Thanks. He's itching me like mad and I'm boiling. I told him I don't need to look like a Swedish detective, but he's determined.
It looked very empty in here. Where is rest of furniture?
No, this is it now. The whole point of doing this was to have more covers, but he also wanted minimalist, so we've got acres of shiny pine floor. It's dead slippy and all. I did a triple salco with two cream teas and a raspberry yoghurt yesterday.
Well, I do see his point a little bit. I did not want to eat my lunch off an upcycled commode. This is more style, but is also a bit more chilly looking. Not very welcoming.
I know. I keep feeling like I'm in a Swedish murder series. There ought to be a forensics board in the corner.
Really, I should be looking at the food, as that is what I am here to review. So, these little donuts look very nice.
Flotty cocked monk.
Oh, are you having a stroke? Should I call someone?
It's what they're called. Flotty cocked monk, in Swedish.
Oh, they are very funny, these Swedes. What is in them? Jam? Or chocolate?
Liver and turnip.
Liver?
That's not Swedish, that's just Tom. He got a job lot of liver off of Vince, and he's been trying to shift them turnips for weeks. Everyone had them excluded on their veg box order because they're minging.
Oh, I am not eating liver. I am not happy about having one liver inside of me, and that is mine. What is that?
Clad caca.
Oh, you are making thing up now.
I'm not. It's a dead sticky chocolate cake. Peggy Woolley had a bit yesterday and had to have a really hot espresso to unstick her dentures.
Well, okay. It is just chocolate though, yes?
Yeah. Well, mostly chocolate. With just a hint of broccoli.
Has Tom gone completely mentally bonker?
I think he has a bit, if I'm being honest. People want to come out for a nice English farmhouse afternoon tea. If they want Swedish, they can just go to IKEA in Felpersham and have authentic meatballs, chips and 724 tea lights.
Emma, I think this is very great shame. My listeners will be very sad. I shall also be writing a very bad review on Trip Advising.
You won't be the first one. People just keep posting gifs of that chef from the Muppets on Facebook. I'm bloody sick of ABBA and all. There's one upside, though, that I can see.
Well, I cannot see one.
Oh, yeah. We got so much empty space now all Fallon's tat's gone. Ed's penned in 20 texels on table 5.
Radio Borsetshire.
Thank you very much for Breeze and Emma, the dream team. And that's it. Oh, now, thank you very much for all your reviews and for the nice things that you have been saying and for listening. And to our lovely Patreons. And thank you to Matt Rodriguez Payne, who has pulled out all the stops this week, because you may have noticed that it has been recently the 60th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yes.
So
has he done it?
He has done us a Doctor
Who.
Oh,
Matt.
Theme.
Oh, you're awesome. Thank you.
So we will play out with the Doctor. Thank you very much for listening. And if you would like still to enter to win the meat thermometer thingy
meter.
Bob.
It's and who doesn't want a meter, Lucy?
Jeff just kept telling me all the things it can do. He's so excited. He said. So even if it's in the oven and it's not done, it will say to you, like your beef, you need to take it out a bit early so it carries on cooking inside, so it's nice and rare inside.
Never done a beef, actually.
You've never cooked beef.
Well, that's why I need a meter. Because I wouldn't know how to do a beef. You know, the only meat I can cook really, I can't do a beef. I wouldn't even know what you buy.
Right.
Just wouldn't know. B, I wouldn't know what you do with it. I can only really roast a chicken. Otherwise, I just could do vegetables and chicken and fish. That's it. Okay. And bacon. But if I had a meter, then I guess I could just get a beef from the butcher.
Would you just go to the butcher and say, can I have a beef, please?
Yes, because I wouldn't know what to get
and
in the supermarket.
Yes, madam, that would be £492.
Yes, exactly.
Here comes the right mug.
But I think that's why I've never cooked a beef, because I wouldn't, because it is expensive and I wouldn't want to run that risk.
Okay.
Because you don't want to ruin it. It's so easy to ruin, isn't it?
You know,
love
those books,
beef when it's pink.
You can get books where they have...
I know.
They have,
I haven't got, have I, haven't got the time
recipes,
to read them, darling. Okay. I just haven't got the time to read
they're
them.
On your phone as well.
I can't do it.
Rather than looking at pictures of Pasty Palmer's hair, you could be getting a...
But I don't know where to start. I don't know what to buy. I don't know what I'm looking for.
I will tell you what to buy.
Okay, tell me. Tell me, and then tell me how to do it.
All right.
But I think I'll need a meter, won't I? Because I
no.
won't know. Really?
No.
Really?
No.
Because you're supposed to be selling it.
No. Jeff needs a meter because he's a brilliant cooker of a beef, Harriet. You are probably not
a starter,
going to, I'm taking
a beginner.
I'm taking a flying leap here, but I am guessing that you are not going to be a brilliant cooker of a beef. So you don't need one.
No, but I'm going to do it. My kids really want me to do... They love roast dinners and I never make them because I can't be asked. But they... So they would love me to do a roast beef with roasty potatoes.
And Yorkshire puddings.
Because we only... If we have roast, it's only chicken.
Okay. Only. Just get topside. Go to the butcher and say...
Exactly. That's what I mean, Lucy. That's what I wouldn't know what to say.
One word. Topside.
Okay. But what do I say?
Just say, can I have a joint of topside... Big enough for five people. Six people.
Six. Okay, and then they just give it to me.
Yes.
And then I just put
it in the oven. And you can even say to him, how do I cook it? And he'll tell you.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
Or she'll tell you.
That's a good idea. If they're friendly.
That's it.
Okay, thanks. Okay, fine. Okay, I might do it and I might post it when I've done it.
No, you can't eat it, children. It's just for Instagram. You have the chicken that's over there.
So I might do a chicken as well, just in case.
A backup chicken.
Just in case it's terribly tough. Anyway, sorry. Sorry, back to Doctor Who.
Yes, back to Doctor Who. So that's it. So we'll go out now with Doctor Who. Which is, and then after this, it's all going to be Christmassy, seasonal, festive-y.
Christmassy. Yeah, we're counting down to Crimbo, Lucy.
We are. Well, you are. Okay. On your marks. Get set. Goodbye, everybody. We love you very much.
Goodbye.
Speak to you next
love
week.
You. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.